Mark chapter 5, we're going to read about 20 verses here this morning. It's a familiar story but to most of you, but I dare not take anything for granted. So I'm going to read this story to you this morning. You can follow along or just listen as I read. I'll ask you not to stand. You will be standing for a while. Chapter 5, verse number 1. And when they came over to the other side of the sea, that's the Sea of Galilee, under the country of the Gadareans, and when he was come out of the ship, speaking of Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And Jesus said unto him, Come out of the man. He said to the devils, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered as saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. That's the devils talking now. That Jesus wouldn't send them out of the country. Now there was nigh under the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea or drowned. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion of devils sitting and clothed, and in his right mind. Somebody say amen. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to them that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Leave us alone, they would have said. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, and said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Morning, the title of my message is, Look What the Lord Has Done. Hallelujah. Say that with me. Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. I plan to talk today on 3 points, if I can get it in 25 minutes this morning: what demons can do, what God can do, and what you can do. What demons can do, what God can do, and what you can do. The man in our story had trouble of the worst kind. He was infested by demons. My observation over the years and from reading God's Word, you ain't got no troubles till you get full of the devil. You don't have troubles until the devil moves in lock, stock, and barrel. He was infested by these demons. His spirit had become a stronghold and a cage, as we read in the book of the Revelation, of every clean and hateful bird. The demons possessed him and controlled him. You say, you don't believe all that superstition. Well, Jesus believed it, and that's good enough for me. Because he dealt with them, did he not? Did he not give us power? Behold, I give you power over all unclean spirit. So if we can't just dismiss this as the anxiety of the weak-minded or whatever. Brother, Jesus believed in them and he dealt with them, and this is one of the occasions in which he did. The demons possessed and controlled this man, his thought and his behavior. He was bound with spiritual chains like the ones they had placed upon his wrist and on his ankle. His soul was in iron. His spirit was chug full of evil spirits. Now let me stop and just make the statement. I'm not here doing a study on demons this morning. I have done that, but and have some knowledge and some understanding, not perfect, but some understanding from what I read in the Word of God, what I have encountered firsthand in my own life after 37 years in the ministry. I mean, you can't run and hide and stay away from the devil all the time. You're going to be confronted by the devil. If you are a spirit-filled believer, you're going to be confronted by the devil. You either let him bowl you over, run over you, destroy and mess in your life, or you meet him head on and deal with him. How? In the name of Jesus. Say that. In the name of Jesus. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. But I just want to say this in passing here this morning. A person can be oppressed by the devil. A person can even have an obsession that comes from an evil influence. But that person, in my personal opinion, cannot be possessed. Possession means control. The devil cannot have full control until he is in the parlor of your spirit. He can operate, come and go in your mind and speak things into your mind. He can influence you to do some ugly things. He does all the yes, even Christian. I've seen them do things that if I didn't know better, I'd think, dear God, they're demon possessed. I've seen that happen. He's operating in their mind. But a man or woman is not totally possessed, personal opinion here now, until the evil spirits take up their abode in his spirit. Brother, that spirit will not remain vacant and empty. There's something going to be in it. I'm glad we can be possessed by the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. And we can be controlled by the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. There'll be something on the throne. Either you yourself, or an evil spirit, or Jesus will be in your heart. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that this morning. Now, we don't want to talk about demons nor necessary here this morning, because they're very vain. You start talking about them and they will show up because they want to hear what you're saying. But I really want to talk about what the Lord has done. What the Lord has done. But suffice it to say, I think it only fair that I speak briefly to the subject here this morning. Might be of interest and it might help somebody. So I listen closely now. Listen in a hurry, because that's the way I'm going to talk about it this morning. The word demon is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. The word devil is used many, many times. Now there is a devil, the fallen archangel Lucifer. We call him the devil. The King James says of these demons that they are devils. If you'll show up church tonight, I will give you a scriptural setting of where evil spirits came from. They are not fallen angels. You can count on that. They came from somewhere else. And God gave me a real revelation on this while I was gone trying to take a vacation about where these things come from. And I want to share it with you. But the word devils is used instead of demons many, many times. Demons are disembodied spirits. That means they are spiritual. They have no corporeal body. They have no body of which they can manifest themselves at all. But the disembodied spirits prey upon men and women and young people. They are exceedingly evil and malicious. They are jealous of each other. They are jealous of the image of God that they see in you. And they seek to corrupt and to destroy the divine image that they can find implanted, imprinted upon a human heart, a human soul. They do that to destroy that or corrupt it. The same process, same end result, corruption or destruction. They seek to influence situation in the earth, listen, through willing people. And they're only successful in as far as people give them the leave or okay for them to come in and work through them. I must admit, some people are unwitting subjects. But I don't believe that a person is possessed by the devil as an unwitting subject. I believe he knows exactly what has taken place in his life. Now, the devil can operate externally and can almost mimic demon possession. He can almost, I'm telling you, the human mind is unreal. Some of the things and the power of suggestion in the human mind sometimes can mimic outright possession. Here's why the Holy Spirit has a gift called the discerning of spirit. And my friend, we need that, don't we? And I believe that gift of discerning of spirits is in this church. I believe there are people in this church that have that. And you know what? I consider that as a safeguard, because the devil may get by with something, but he's not getting by too far, because we got folks that can discern him. And any spirit-filled believer should be able to do this to some degree. Now, I am convinced, dear friends, that demons cause most of the ills on this planet. Now, that's a big statement, but I mulled it over and I thought about it too, pro and con. I'm convinced that demons cause most of the ills on this planet. I'll even go as far as to say if suddenly the earth were rid of evil spirits, it would become a paradise for man almost overnight. Thank God, I believe in the millennial reign of Christ, His kingdom of 1,000 years here on earth is going to be such a paradise where Lucifer and his imps will be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. It's coming, folks. I tell you, it's coming. In the meantime, you have authority through the name of Jesus. You're not at the mercy of the devil. Will somebody shout with me here this morning? You're not at the mercy of the devil. He has given you power and authority. It is through the shed blood of Jesus and through that glorious name. Hallelujah. You have been given a carte blanche. Jesus has given you His name to use. Now, according to the Bible, stay with me now, because I don't want to spend more time necessary on this. You have to listen closely. According to the Bible, demons cause physical sickness and they cause disease. Yes, sir, Rebob. There are biological reasons. People do abuse their bodies and they get sick. And you're looking at one here now. Abused my body and I brought some things on me. That's the second time in my life that I've done that. God forgive me. I'm going to try to stay away from that from now on. There are such things as biological. There are such things as germ. They're about as close to a demon as you can get, a germ. But there are biological reasons. There are physiological reasons why people get sick and there are diseases. I'm prepared to believe that. But I just want you to know the devil can bring this on people too. And the Bible talks about deafness. I haven't discerned this yet. I haven't discerned this, but the Bible talks about people being the spirit of deafness that had to be cast out. And then there's blindness. Then there's dumbness or muteness. They can't speak. There are mental and emotional torments. Oppression and depression and obsession, and these things sometimes have no physiological orientation or origin, but they are demonic. I said they are demonic. No, I didn't say because you got the Monday morning blues, you've got an evil spirit. Let's show a little sanity here this morning. That is not true. Sometimes you eat too much sugar, you're either going to get high or you're going to get low. Your sugar level goes down, you're going to feel like you're backslidden. I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm just telling you the Bible tells us that this is possible and we ought to discern the origin. If we had more spiritual discernment, I'm sure we could do a better job about ministering to people and delivering them. I read about Smith Wigglesworth, the apostle of faith, he is called. And he had a special gift of discerning the spirit. I read of David Duplessis. He is the father of my modern Pentecost, they say, that reached out to people in liberal denominations, including the Catholic Church. Assemblies of God kicked him out and took him back in 40 years later and said, "You were right and we were wrong. You were trying to reach out to these people and tell them about Jesus and about the baptism in the Holy Spirit." David Duplessis said of Smith Wigglesworth, he said, "I've never seen a man so accurate. He's got 100 people, 200 people lined up across here, and he's moving down the line. He's praying for some. He comes to one, he skips them. He comes to another, he skips them. He comes to one, and he lays hands and commands the devil to come out." This man said, Wigglesworth exercised this gift near perfection. Brother, he never missed. He wasn't dealing with external things. He was getting to the root of the problem. And we'd do a better job in helping people who are emotionally disturbed, who are having problems in family or having problems in sickness or whatever, if we could pinpoint and determine immediately what we are dealing with. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That power is available to us. Somebody say amen. Whether we use it or not is beside the point. It's available to us through the name of Jesus Christ and through the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, glory. Looks like I'm going to have to preach part two next Sunday. Here we go now. Demons encourage, listen, lust, perversion, lying, thefts, suicide. I said encourages that and promotes that and moves people in that arena. He promotes murder. He promotes war. Now, demons promotes deception. They teach and propagate false doctrines. They work sham miracles. They masquerade, listen to me, as departed loved ones seeking familiarity with people. You read in the scripture about familiar spirits. Right here's where they are. They know about your loved ones. They know about their life. They can tell you things about them, and they masquerade as departed loved ones. Could I just move back here and make a statement to you? If your great-great-granddaddy on your mama's side twice removed shows up every midnight in your home or every new moon in your home and he's telling you things, you need to rebuke that thing in Jesus' name. That book tells me that there is a dividing a buffer zone that where those spirits cannot cross over. I said those spirits of men cannot cross over. God has ordained that. But evil spirits, being rebellious outlaws that they are, crash the gate, move over that, and do approach people, even claiming to be Jesus Christ. Paul said there is another Jesus. Are you with me? Some of the worst atrocities that have ever been committed, some of the worst doctrines that have ever been perpetrated on the church have been done in the name of Jesus because somebody saw a man or a figure that says, "I am Jesus." I'm maintaining that Jesus will not contradict himself nor the word of God, that you're dealing with an evil spirit that says his name is Jesus. Don't we need discernment? Don't we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Don't we need to know what we're dealing with here? Somehow I feel like this might be an order for me to preach like this for some reason this morning. Now, they mimic departed loved ones, they mimic angels, and I said they mimic Jesus. Demons know God's plan for you. Yes, they probably know more about what you're supposed to be doing than you know. They believe, unless you've really sought God for enlightenment, they believe in God. But I like this part. The demons also believe and tremble. Somebody say, and tremble. What are they trembling at? The name of Jesus, dear friends. Just mention his name. Hallelujah. And they have a nervous breakdown. Brother, we're not at anybody's mercy here. Jesus is on our side. Hallelujah. The power of God operating in our life. And we are covered by the precious blood of Jesus. Somebody preach with me this morning. They are subject to Jesus Christ and his followers. That's you and me. These demons are not limited to time and space. Thousands of them can occupy a small area. We read that in this story. Now let's look at the man of Gadara for just a few minutes, and we're going to get out of here by 12 if I have to quit for a finish. No doubt at one time this man was normal. I'm still wrestling with the whole idea of children being born possessed with evil spirits. I don't know. I no authority. I don't know. I don't know what influence that a mother's activity can have over a baby before he's born. I know the Japanese believe that if you sing to that baby, if you read to that baby, if you work calculus and high math, he may be a mathematician, he may be wiser. There's some studies that indicate that that baby can hear. I know he could hear loud sounds. I know he could feel things, you know that. I don't know how much influence a mother or a father or what the genes play or whether grandma fooled with Ouija boards, grandma read the stars, and grandma was a witch over her family and all that. I don't know about all that. I'll just leave that to your speculation. I don't know, but I have the distinct impression, and I wasn't there, but I'm going to guess, that this man one time was normal. I believe that he was some mother's baby. You know that, or he wouldn't be here, all right? I believe the possibility was that he had a wife, a family. Maybe he was a daddy. But here's what I do believe could have taken place from a normal beginning. This man descended into a pit of snakes. This man descended into a black nether world of demons, demonology, and the devil, and descended so deeply until he was beyond the help of all mankind. No man could tame him. That's what the Bible says about him. No man could take. They'd bind him up in chain, and that spirit would move him, and he'd break chain. Brother, these folks catching devils in paper sacks are a joke. Are you with me this morning? One preacher traveled this country and made $1 million by having a frog in a jar of formaldehyde. And he went every place advertising a woman, spit this up, and I've got a devil here. And brother, that is as kooky and kinky and flaky as you get. Brother, I want you to know these demons are exceptionally powerful. And when they possess a man, he becomes powerful. I've had little old petite girls throw me like I weighed 5 pounds. I've had them to throw me, and I fought with everything was in me trying to hold them down while we were trying to cast the devil out of them. Super, super human strength. Brother McGee was here, and an encounter an evil spirit in a guide in Greece. Now, brother, there's a lot of devils over in that part of the world, and she was demon-possessed. And for some reason, they started praying for that woman. I don't know whether it was before or after, but she was in the room with Brother McGee and his wife and some of the people from his church. And all of a sudden, she started manifesting. And when she did, she picked him up vitally. Kenneth McGee is well over 6 feet and weighed well over 200 pounds. She picked him up vitally and threw him against the opposite wall of the room. Today, that woman is saved and healed and baptized, the Holy Ghost, still living for God, and that happened 20 some odd years ago. I'm familiar with that story. So what I'm saying is that he was bound by chains. They're trying to control this man. He's out of control. You know anybody out of control? Have you seen people, how they act when they're on drugs? You see how people act when they are on alcohol? You see how people act when they are out of it, when they've lost control? Brother, they are hard to handle. That's why we have laws. That's why we have laws. I've seen as many as a half a dozen big policemen trying to corral somebody because they were out of their mind. Let me tell you another story. For some reason, I'm just keep going on this today, and I can't get to where I really think I ought to be, but just hang on here a minute. My sister Moore has a nephew that's had a history of mental problems that all started when he got on drugs as a teenager. He introduced his sister to drugs. Oh, God, God. introduced his sister. No, an older brother introduced both of them to drugs. That's the way it was. And his sister died in an automobile accident. A young mother under the influence of drugs. I hate them, folks. I hate them. That's about as close to the devil control of a human being as you can get. And some of you more familiar with it than I am. But this kid went crazy. I mean, went crazy on drugs. A bad trip or something. I don't know what happened to it. And listen, they brought the police out and they put how many canisters of tear gas in that house? 4 or 5 canisters of tear gas in that house where he was, and he still wouldn't come out. Brother, that's unreal, isn't it? This is the condition this man was in. Bound. But it wasn't just chains that he was bound. He was bound spiritually. He was dragging around bars of chains and an anvil. Like a ball and chain, his soul was in iron. And I know some people in the same predicament. I know some people that come to church that have a religious face. You won't catch them out at the bar on Saturday night. You won't catch them in the back alley buying cocaine or heroin or any such thing. They're religious people. They're respectable people. They make it to church every Sunday. And they pay their tithes sometimes. And they are bound just as sure as this man was bound. Friend, anything that comes between us and God that handicaps our lives is a bondage in our lives. Amen. Willie George. Anybody know who Willie George is? Church on the move in Tulsa. Started out as a kids evangelist. And now he's got about 10,000 people in his church almost every Sunday morning. Started out as a little kids ministry. Willie George. He does a skit that I think... I thought seriously about doing it, but I didn't have any handcuffs. So I just let me tell you about it. Willie George, he takes a grown man that's supposed to act like he's dead. He's in limbo. And he takes a little boy and he handcuffs this grown man to this little boy. And so he ties him up pretty tight. And so he's trying to lift this old boy's arm. And man, he's dead. He's dead weight to him. And he can't. Now he said, now son, I want you to praise God. I mean, that kid, he can't get it done because he's got a dead man attached to him. He said, now, son, I want you to come to this altar. I can't, Pastor. I've got too big a load to carry. I can't drag this man all the way to the altar. I want you to read your Bible. I can't even hold a Bible. Look what I'm handicapped with here. Look what I'm bound up. Do you get the drift of where I'm headed here? People come to the house of God that don't have to be bound. Brother, if you're saved, you don't have to be bound, because he whom the Son has made free, finish that, is free indeed. Say it louder, free indeed. Glory! We believe in a man being free. Somebody say amen. Yeah. I'm just going to hit a couple of high spots and I'm closing. Condition of this man: mentally tormented, emotionally disturbed. The Bible says of this man that he was in the mountains, he's in the tomb. Some believe that he was a ghoul. Go home, look that up on the internet, see what a ghoul is. Lived in the tombs, he lived among the dead. And then the Bible says that he roamed day and night crying. Friends, I want you to know there's a lot of people that you know, and you know some of them, who roam the mountains of sin crying. Nights of crying, move among the tombs crying. Women cry that are battered and bruised and neglected. There are children that cry that are hungry and they are abused and they're alone and they're neglected. Men cry. There's people in this congregation needs to get out and have you a good boo-hoo. It releases you in your spirit. Are you with me here? Here's a good place to do it right here. We got plenty of mops. We'll mop up all the tears you spill here on these altars. But I tell you, we need to be crying out to God, not crying because we're tormented by the devil. Oh, I'm going to say something to you this morning. There are people in the church. I'm sorry to say this. People in the church that are bound, they are addicted by many things that has a hold on them. The old life, the flesh Even the devil is operating in that anteroom of their spirit called their mind. And they're torn asunder. They're weeping. And they're sad. They're addicted. And pornography is one of the big things. It's absolutely destroying people's sanity and destroying their families and destroying their minds today. And will destroy one's soul if a person doesn't get free of that and get liberty from that. But I'm telling you what, Jesus has liberty for us. Will somebody say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to close her right now. Hallelujah. Jesus said, what's your name? And that evil spirit spoke through that man. Now remember, an evil spirit can have no influence except he operates through people. He has to use people's hands and feet and use their vocal cords. He has to operate in the material world. He's a spirit. He has to have a corporeal body. He has to have something he can work through. And so they were in this man. And so those evil spirits says, my name is Legion. For we are many. That word legion means anything, as some scholars believe it does. It was a reference to a large number. A Roman legion in that day was 6,825 or 30. 6,800. Did he have that many demons? He had a bunch of them because we are many. That was their own testimony. But I want you to know Jesus said, come out of him, you unclean spirit. Glory! And what happened? The spirits began to talk. Oh, don't send us. Stay with me. I've got to cover. Don't send us out of the country. Stay with me a moment. Demons operate under authority. They are appointed by powers over them. Ephesians 6 verse 12, principalities and powers and wicked spirits in high places. It talks about different categories and levels and groups here. So they are under authority. Somebody has given them authority. Somebody has given them dominion. That means they have a devil over them. Satan's over them. A fallen angel's over them. And they are assigned to a particular locale. Stay with me. This is a revelation from God. Listen to it. And I believe you will agree. Could be, we might be onto something here. Now stay with me for just 2 minutes longer this morning. Now, they said, don't send us out of the country. That was how they were begging Jesus. Aren't you glad for that authority Jesus has? He put the devils on their knees begging for mercy. Don't send us out of the country. Well, they're saying, we have a right to be here. This is our dominion. This is our domain. This is our area. We've been assigned to this area. Don't send us away. If you do, we have lost our area of dominion. We have no dominion, no place but here. Stay with me. We don't have dominion any place but here. And if you send us out someplace, we have to wander in dry and desolate places, and we can have no influence except right here. But I want you to know, Jesus had the power to send them out into the dry and desolate places. Listen to me this morning. If that is true, and my assumption is true, we're missing the boat when we do not command devil to be released from their assignment in Jesus' name. Release them from that assignment and command them to leave their source or leave their dominion over the area which they are ruling. You can do that in your family. I said you can do that in your family. We can do that in the church. We can do that in this community. Will somebody shout amen this morning? Behold, I give you authority and power over all the works of the devil. Matthew 16 and 8, whatsoever things ye bind on earth. That's what we're talking about. Whatsoever things ye bind on earth is bound in heaven. Amplified said he's already bound in heaven. Whatsoever things you release or allow, or whatever term you want to use here, will be released in heaven, already released in heaven. We have a great deal of power here. We're waiting for Jesus to do something he told us to do. Oh, I can't wait till the devil's bound in the bottomless pit. Well, wake up and smell the roses. You've got the power to bind him right now. Somebody say amen. With heads bowed. With heads bowed for a moment.
Urarakaya poshindo lovukuya. Anda karevi toshanda livikuya. Feel the presence of Jesus here. Look what the Lord has done. Look what He's doing. Some of us were bound by the devil and didn't really know it. We knew we were mean and honored to do anything in the world, but we were under the devil's control. Maybe didn't even really know. But thank God we're clean this morning and we're free. Brother, I count that a privilege to be free in Jesus, that I'm not a slave to anybody or anything, and I want to keep it that way, don't you? I want to keep it that way. But alas, 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 there are some people who are bound unnecessarily. Unnecessarily. God, speak to each of our hearts. There's one area of our lives that just keeps causing us problems. We just keep coming back to it, coming back to it. Wasn't for this one thing, we'd moved on a long time ago, but we just keep coming back to it. Just keep coming back to it. We keep failing in this one particular area. God, I pray that You'd help our people to just come to face the facts. Maybe we're dealing with more than the flesh here. Maybe we're dealing with a satanic power of which we have not yet gotten the victory over. And He just keeps influencing us, and we just keep listening to Him and just keep obeying Him in that area. God, deliver us all. Deliver us all. Say it with me this morning. Dear God, say it with me. Dear God, I know I'm saved. I know the blood of Jesus is sufficient. And I believe if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. I have confidence in You. But Lord, I want to be free from all encumbrances in my life. I want to be free from all bondages in my life. And I will be free in the name of Jesus. Satan, be gone. Leave my life. Leave my family. I plead the blood against you. The Word of God is against you. I am against you. Jesus is against you. So you might as well pick up your weapons and flee. And I command you to leave the country. Leave this area of domination. Leave it. In Jesus' name, wander in the dry and desolate places. Don't come back here because you're not welcome. We command you to go in Jesus' name. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Well, glory. Olavekoya patasaravekoya. I bless the Lord. Stand with me and praise Him for salvation this morning, would you please? Stand and praise Him for salvation this morning. Lord Jesus, I love You this morning. I love You this morning. And I praise You from the bottom of my heart. Amen. Somebody feels you need some help. Somebody here this morning feel like you're losing the game. You're not winning at this thing as much as you might like. You're missing it. You're not winning the game. You're losing it. Maybe you ought to come to this altar, throw your carcass across that altar and say, Jesus, I'm not leaving here till I get rid of this burden on my heart. I'm not leaving here till I feel that freedom that is mine by right of Scripture. You come and say, Jesus, I need deliverance. Could we put it that way? I need deliverance. I'm going to stay here until You deliver me of the power of the Holy Spirit. I've been the devil's patsy too many times, and I'm tired of that. I want deliverance. Would You come this morning? We got people here to pray the glory down on you. We got people here that'll help you. If you want to come, come this morning. Anywhere, anybody, come today. Hallelujah. I bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Just kind of hold steady with this communion set here, Brother Bailey. Put that thing in the refrigerator. We'll get to it. I intend to have communion this morning. We got somebody needs God here. Anybody else want to come today? Hallelujah. I tell you, some of the most profitable times in my life has been when I said, I can't do this myself. I can't do this myself. I've got to have help. I want to commit this to You, Lord. If I try to handle it myself, I'm going to blow my brains out before dark tonight. I need some help. And I found that relief at an altar of prayer many, many, many times. So if you need to come, pour out your heart today. And if you want deliverance, we have people that can affect that this morning through the name of Jesus Christ. Through the name of Jesus. So the altar's open to you. Come this morning. I'm not questioning your salvation. I'm just questioning. You may be in a battle you're not winning. You're not winning and you need some help. Would you come this morning? Would you come this morning? Hallelujah. All right, here's the way we're going to do it. Thank all of you for coming this morning. We love you and appreciate you. You're free to go. You're free to stay. Service tonight starts 5:30, prayer meeting. And then our service this evening, we'll take communion. And I want to share some things tonight I believe you'll be interested in. God bless you for coming today. We're going to pray with these that are here. Saints, I need some prayer warriors here. I can't handle this myself. I need some people who will come and pray with me this morning. Glory be to God.